Hello and welcome to the Haywood County Schools Report. This is Todd Trantham and I'll be your host for the show today. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the analysis of student work, which is a new system that's been put in place this year that many of our teachers are dealing with. And we're going to talk about that today with our special guest on the show, Dr. Nolte, our associate superintendent. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nolte.
Thank you for having me on the podcast this morning. And analysis of student work. Wow.
So let's begin with just that question and get into it, jump right in. What is this analysis of student work?
Well, in short, it's an evaluation measure for some teachers, not students. Even some of our staff that we've done some preliminary training with have called and said, how do we count this? What percentage of the students? Great. And just what I've said is just stop. This is not about kids. I know that sounds funny from a school system because we want everything to be about kids. But this is a way to measure the effectiveness of teachers. Most teachers are measured by how far they move students from the beginning of the year, end of the year, beginning of the course, end of the course. And they're measured with a standardized test or some standardized measure, even down in kindergarten, first or second grade, reading levels, or high school biology test, or middle school math test. Well, there are teachers who don't teach those things that have a final exam or an end of grade or end of course. And so the analysis of student work is a structured and objective way to score those teachers on how they're moving students, particularly in a performance area rather than a test score area.
Okay, and specifically, what teachers are going to be involved in this analysis of student work?
Well, like I said, most folks are covered with reading tests and math tests and science tests. But what we've got is we have for our elementary and our middle schools, any teacher who teaches 60% of the time in a performance area, for example, physical education, the arts, the visual arts, the performing arts, chorus, band, world language. You know, how do you change performance in Spanish or French? And even in some instances, well, those are the primary. So if 60% of their load is teaching those performance classes, the arts and healthful living or world language. That's high school.
Mm-hmm.
60% of their classes. So in arts, healthful living, or world language. Now, K-8, which I started talking about a while ago, is does the teacher teach that subject, the same subject, the arts, physical education, or world language, do they teach that to one group of students at least 45 minutes a week? And that doesn't sound like a lot, but with some of our art and music and traveling teachers and with budget cuts, there are some teachers who may see a class, you know, once or twice a week for 30 minutes or sometimes every other week, you know, for 30, 45, 50 minutes. So it's primarily about arts, chorus, band, vocal, visual arts, and second or world languages and health and physical education. So that's who's involved.
Now, this seems like a pretty major undertaking. So how are we going to, in a very short period of time, train our staff so that they're knowledgeable about this process?
Well, we put together a team that mainly involved teachers, myself, and then Tim Wise, who was the arts representative from Tuscola, Shannon Hansen, who teaches AP English Language Arts at Pisgah, because if you teach enough AP, you're included too. Most of our AP teachers only teach one or two classes, so this may not be their measure. Their measure may be the regular English test.
Mm-hmm.
Another person on the team was Natalie Boone, who's one of our site administrators, assistant principal, but is highly skilled in healthful living, physical education. And then Alex Mosciarelli, who's a world language person, who actually did some pilot work with ASW earlier. And so as a team, we went and were trained, and then we came back and we did everything a school administrator / principal needs to know about the analysis of student work and how teachers are scored their standard six. If you're a teacher listening, that's really what we're talking about. And we did that overview And then we will set up a big training for, I think, 72 of our teachers. And those are the arts, physical education, and world language people from elementary through high school. And that training will occur really soon, in mid-September, probably about when the podcast is playing.
And what specifically are we going to talk about in that training with them?
Well, there's a lot there. The first thing that we're going to do is we'll break them into two groups, and we'll only have about 30 or so per group so they can really digest the information. We're going to do a short class that lasts about almost an hour and a half that's called Analysis of Student Work 101, and it's just going to tell them how it fits into their evaluation and how the numbers are calculated and how they keep up with student work and who it's sent to and who analyzes it and how they download. So if I'm a music teacher, I may record the class on the first week of school and show their rhythm or timing. And then I may record them at the end of the time and be able to show a big difference in that. Mm-hmm. And there's but we'll do a big overview. And then we'll spend most of our time helping teachers really go back to the objectives that they're teaching in their state curriculum and really help them understand those objectives, because what they turn in terms of the work that's going to be analyzed is going to be the specific objective. It's not in physical education how fast I run. That's not one of the objectives mm-hmm. for the state. But one of the objectives for the state could well be endurance. And so what measures could they use with a small number of students or with a whole class to show that the endurance of students has improved? Resting heart rate before and after exercise, presidential fitness scores, those kinds of things. So we'll spend probably half the training day looking at the objectives and talking to the people about good, solid objectives that can be presented for analysis by an expert off in a distance. And then we'll teach them how to use the online platform. That's a digital platform where they literally load up their samples mm-hmm. and send them out into the cloud and say, here was the data from the beginning of the class, and then here's the data at the end of the class or the course or the semester, and see how the fill-in-the-blank objective has changed, whatever the objective is. And so that's the bulk of the training. We'll obviously have to do some follow-up training with principals and maybe even data managers at school so that everybody learns how to use the new instrument. It's basic, or the stuff in the instrument for teacher evaluation for these people. We've used it in a similar way with people who have a more traditional test. It's the old, if you're a teacher and you're listening, it's bringing you up to speed on the true North Logic side of how to do things. So mm-hmm. it's exciting. One last thought, if we have time, is when I went to the training, I went around the room and there were a dozen or more school systems available. And I went to individual music and art and physical education and world language and AP teachers who were in the room. And I said, is this the right way to do this to give you an evaluation score? Because it sounds like a lot of work. And everyone but one person said, one person who sort of gave me a politically correct, rode the fence kind of answer. But everyone else in the room said, well, it is going to be a lot of work, but if I'm going to get an evaluation score, I like this because it shows what I have done to move my students. And I felt really good about that. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
well,
you'll probably hear more about it in the future.
Very different from the standard traditional type of evaluation that yes. many of our teachers are used
yes.
to. But just because it's different doesn't mean that it's not necessarily better.
Right.
So we're excited about seeing where this goes. Dr. Nolte, thank you so much for being our guest on the show today. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and great day.